Lord God, we just ask your blessing on this gathering tonight, Lord, this fellowship, so we can remember the birth of your Son, Lord, the renewing of your fellowship with all of us on earth. And we just thank you, Lord, that we could come together, and we just ask you to bless everything that happens here tonight and bless every person here. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bill asked me to do this message a few months ago, and when I said yes, I wasn't really thinking about how serious it was to do a Christmas Eve message. But he called me on the phone the other day, and he said, just keep it short and sweet. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. But the awesome thing about what I'm going to share with you tonight is that it is so sweet. And, you know, a lot of you guys know me, and I'm a teacher. I teach school outside of here. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is the events that transpired on that night so long ago. And I'm going to share from the Gospel of Luke. And this is my favorite gospel. And, you know, the Bible's made up of a lot of different books. You know, there's poetry, there's prophecy, but there's history. And the Gospels are history. They're a biography of Jesus Christ and his work. And I think for a lot of people that's lost. And when we look at Luke chapter 2 tonight, I really hope that when you walk out of here, you'll realize that this is a recording of events that really happened. This is not mythology. This is not a fable or a tall tale. This is a history. And every time I read this gospel, it just strikes me, you know, it's like a textbook. And I love it more and more when I read it. And so I hope you'll feel that way when we get done tonight. You know, I love all the traditions that go along with Christmas. I love having a Christmas tree. I love giving presents. I love getting presents. I know I love the Christmas songs and the kids on stage. But I like the reality of what we celebrate. You know, the fact that the Lord loved us so much that he sent his Son so that we could be saved from our sins. And I just love the truth of it more than I love the trappings, you know, the things we've added on to it. And so I'm gonna read to you from Luke chapter 2 if you want to follow along. And in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. I talked to the junior high and the high school kids about this, this gospel and this chapter in this gospel. And notice it doesn't say once upon a time. It doesn't say in a land far away. It gives us an anchor for when this really happened. Okay? Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome. You can go on Wikipedia and look him up. Okay? This governor, you can go look him up on the internet. He's a real person. This census really occurred. Okay? This order really was given out. Why? Because the governor wanted to collect taxes on the people. He needed to know how many people there were. Okay? It's a real event. And these people anchor this in time in such a concrete way that it's not something that can be denied. And when I read this and I just see the things that were going on and I see the reality of this, it just, every time I see this particular gospel, it makes this, the birth of Christ, more real to me. And the thing is, you know, I think that this happened so long ago that we can get disconnected from it. But the truth was, here's a group of people that are just like us with the same problems that we have. And I want to share this with you because this is from a historian. His name's Will Durant. And he wrote all about the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. And here's what he said about the Empire of Rome at this time. And I want you to see if it shocks you as much as it shocked me when I read it. Here's what he said about Rome. Trade diminished. Investment stood still. Property values fell. Morals, which had been loosened by riches and luxury, had not improved by destitution and chaos. For few conditions are more demoralizing than poverty that comes after wealth. Rome was full of men who had lost their economic footing and their moral stability. Soldiers who had tasted adventure and had learned to kill. Citizens who had seen their savings consumed in taxes and inflation of war, and they waited. They waited for some returning tide to lift them back to affluence. Women dizzy with freedom, multiplying divorces, abortions, and adulteries. Man, someone could have written this into a newspaper yesterday. And so this is the time our Savior was born into. Real time, real people. And these people looking for a peace that they couldn't find no matter what, no matter who was the emperor, no matter who was in power, no matter how great the things were going on around them, they were lost like a lot of us are lost. And the Lord gave us away. So Joseph also went up from Galilee from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Now, these next six verses, when I read them, I get it, you know, chill down my spine. And one of the traditions we have at our house, and maybe you guys do it too, you guys watch a Charlie Brown Christmas? I think I've watched that every year for as far back as I can remember. And I watched it last week. And, you know, at the beginning of it, Charlie Brown is walking around. He can't figure out the meaning of Christmas. And, you know, it's so sad seeing this poor little kid walking around. He doesn't get it, you know, and all those people he goes to school with are giving him grief. And he's trying to do this Christmas play. And even his dog is giving him grief. And, you know, he turns to his friend, Linus. Man, what wisdom in a little kid carrying around a security blanket. And he knew it all the time. And then whenever I watch that, it just strikes me. Now, you know, when you talk about short and sweet and simple, the message really is simple. You know, probably like a lot of you guys, I spent the last 4 weeks, ever since the day after Thanksgiving, you know, shopping and getting ready for Christmas and buying presents and getting the house ready. And, you know, even today, I was out the stores today. Mad. Not a good idea, you know. But just like that little boy in that cartoon, you know, who really didn't know the meaning of Christmas, and a friend who turned to him and, you know, stood on that stage and read this, this just strikes me as the clearest truth every time I see it. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And there will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." I mean, a few sentences, but life-changing once they sink into your heart. That the truth of what the Lord has given us, a Savior that can restore our fellowship with the Almighty God of the universe who created us. Not a God who's waiting to drop the hammer on us for things we do wrong, but a God who wants to have peace with us, who wants to restore our lives, who wants to have fellowship with us, every single one of us. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from, no matter who you are or how bad or good you think you are, he is giving you a way to come to him. And it's a choice, and it's a free gift, you know, to anyone who wants it. And it's a peace that really does transcend anything you can understand until you know it. You know, we look at this, you know, this message here of peace, and, you know, I can see for someone who may not be a believer, and they say, "Well, look at the world, man, there's no peace. And I lost my job, and there's two wars going on, and the economy's wrecked, and I don't know what to do, and my, you know, the kids these days are going crazy." But that's not the kind of peace he's talking about. This is the peace to stand in the midst of this kind of storm and have a calm. To know that you're eternally safe. To be able to be the eye of the storm, you know? To be able to stand up and in the midst of all these problems and know that your eternity is secured. I was watching the news a few weeks ago with the plane crash into that house. Man. One of the most tragic things I've ever heard. And then the guy who, you know, here's this guy, he goes to work, comes home, his whole family's dead. His wife, his two daughters, and his mother-in-law all killed in that plane crash. And he stands up in front of the cameras, and I cried when I heard him saying it. He was praying for the pilot of that plane. This was a Christian man. I mean, when I heard it, I was like, I was astounded. But this is a man who's filled with the Spirit of the Lord, man. He truly has peace in the midst of all that turmoil. You know, is he filled with anguish? Of course he is. I mean, is he going to go through grief like everyone would? Yes. But he was able to stand up and pray. He prayed for the pilot of the plane. He said, I hope he's not going through any agony over this. Man, that is someone who is influenced by his God, who has the peace that the Lord promised us and promises anyone who wants it. And so, I'm just going to share one more thing from a writer, if I can find it. 2,000 years ago, or right now, people were searching for a peace that they didn't have. And they were looking to the world for peace. And, you know, you can look to a wise man, and you're not going to find peace. You can look to a preacher on the stage, and you're not going to find peace. You can look to your politicians, you're not going to find peace. To your boss, your job, you're not going to find it, because those things are going to go away, and we've seen it happen now. But I want to read this to you, and this is from a guy who wasn't a believer, but he knew the truth. And here's what he said. He's talking about the Roman emperor here. He says, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearn for more than outward peace. No man can give you the inner peace that a relationship with the Almighty God can give you. And so, I'm going to close by saying, I pray that you can see the reality of this gift that the Lord has given all of us. A gift without prejudice that anyone can have, and it's there for the asking, and that it's a real person, God come to walk in flesh so that we could be saved from our sins. And if you're anything like I was, it was hard for me to accept that. Hard for me to accept that gift. Because, I mean, I didn't feel like I was that bad. You know, I had some groceries delivered today because we had all this stuff going on, and so I had some groceries brought to our house, and the guy came in, and I have a bumper sticker on my car that says sinner on it. And he's like, why do you got a bumper sticker on it says on your car? It says sinner. And I said to him, I said, that's all of us. You know? It's not like someone's pointing a finger at you going, sinner. I mean, it's true, but that's for everybody. Sinner. And the Lord knows it. And he's so awesome that he's saying, I know you're messed up. I know you're a wreck. I don't care. I love you anyway. And that is just, I mean, more than anything, even more than seeing those cute kids on stage, that just fills my heart with joy. That he could look down on a disaster like me and say, I love you anyway. And so I pray tonight that no matter what else you walk out of here with, that you'll walk out of here with the realization that he loves you anyway. So I'm going to just say a moment of prayer, and then we're going to have some more song. Lord, I just thank you again, and I ask you to bless the kids as they come back in, and just bless the rest of this evening. And it's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.